I don't know about you, but I hate bugs. Do you hate? I hate them. I hate them. Sorry if that offends you, but I hate them. So when I see a spider, I find the right tool. And I grab that thing and I wield it like there's no tomorrow, right? And when I'm done, there's little bits of spider all over the place. Hallelujah. 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 There's something I hate more than bugs. It's the devil. And so when I see the enemy having a go, I want to find the right tool. Why don't we have one here? It's all on your phones. Find me one. That's it. Thank you. Thank you. Ephesians 6 talks about our armor. Right? In Ephesians 6, it talks about when the enemy comes against us. And it says to stand firm then. And when you've done everything to stand, run. A bit like what Damien and Catherine are living out today. Don't get in fear. Don't run away. Don't stay at home. You know? In Ephesians 6, it talks about a whole bunch of different articles as illustrations of what our warfare is with God. All these things are things that protect us. The only offensive weapon in all that armor is the Word of God, called the Word of the Spirit. And so this morning I want to talk about how we wield this thing. How do we make this thing work for us? Because there's incredible, it says the Word of God will endure forever. Now, it's not talking about the Bible. If you've got issues with old Bibles, chucking them out, you can chuck them out. This is just a manifestation of the Word of God on paper. The real Word of God is Jesus Christ. And when he comes again, he's riding a white horse, which I don't know whether he'll be on a white horse, but what it represents is victory. You'll notice that when he rode into Jerusalem, he rode on a donkey. What did that symbolize? That he was coming in peace. Right? So Jesus comes to you right now in peace. If you have Christians come to you not in peace, well, they're out of step with the Spirit of God. Because Jesus comes in peace. When he comes again, he should declare war. What does that mean? It means he's going to fix up all the broken stuff. He's going to fix it. And on his hip, I think it says the Word of God. Right, he is the Word of God. And so this morning I want to unpack, how do we allow this thing? How do we use this? I mean, if you gave me a sword, I wouldn't even know how to chop my veggies with it. Never used a sword in my life, right? But I know how to use this. I know how to use this. And this is much more powerful than a physical sword. This is the sword of the Spirit. And when we start using this thing properly, my gosh. Hey, we're not going to lose ground. We're going to gain ground. We're going to reclaim ground. And actually, that's what I want us to do this morning, is if the enemy's stolen some ground off you, start wielding the sword and say, hey, I want some ground back. That's my inheritance as a child of the King, is not to lose ground, but to gain ground and to reclaim ground and actually reclaim ground for my brothers and sisters. I haven't lost much ground lately, but I want to reclaim some for my brothers and sisters. Hey, that's why we hang out together. So we can fight. No, Ephesians 6 also says we don't fight against flesh and blood. So if you're fighting people, you don't understand spiritual warfare. We only fight the devil, princes, power, you know, and his demons, whatever you want to call them. They're out there. I want to tell you a story about George Mueller. He's a guy, right? He knew how to wield the sword. He's most well known for his orphanages that he set up in England that he ran by faith, not with government funding or Red Shield appeal money, but by faith, right? That's how he ran them. Read his story if you don't know. It's a brilliant, encouraging story. In 1870, he had 5 houses that housed 2,000 children. And in his lifetime, he cared for over 100,000 orphans in the time that he did that. Through all this, Mueller never made a request for financial support. Wow. Just absorb that. Wow. Never asked for nothing. He just prayed. Maybe if we prayed more than we asked, we'd see more miracles. Maybe we're just asking the wrong people. You can ask me for whatever you like, but I don't actually have a stash of it out the back. But the King owns the whole world. He owns the whole universe. Maybe we should ask him. Just a thought. It worked for Mueller. Maybe it can work for you. Nor did he go into debt. Wow, again. Though he bought 5 homes at a cost of over £100,000 at the time. It's 1870. Never went into debt. How do you do that? You pray. This is what Mueller had to say at the age of 54 about studying the Word of God. The vigor of the spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. Do you want to hear that again? The vigor or the oomph of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and our thoughts. I hope you make decisions in your life in accordance with the Word of God. Because if we don't, there's no guarantee. I'll never forget as a young guy doing dumb things. And I was flatting with a friend of mine, had the perfect pluck. I'd just done something dumb, right? And you kind of go, God, why didn't you protect me? And on her wall, she had this. The will of God will never lead you. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. So if you're in a ditch, it probably wasn't God's will that you drove down there. Okay? We have to get this thing back to the top of our priority list. Not university, not lip, not out. Good. I had a good idea. So what? So did the devil. Right? I want a God idea. I want a biblical idea. Mueller goes on to say, I solemnly state that years after converting, neglected the Word of God. But since he began to search it diligently, the blessing has been wonderful. I have read the Bible through 100 times. I can't say that. He'd read the Bible through by the age of 54, 100 times. I think more than read it too. Each time it seems like a new book to me. Great has been the blessing from consecutive, diligent, daily study. I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. You know what? Bill Johnson, who runs one of the most powerful ministries in the world right now, he says there's only one day that he hasn't been in God's Word. And he was unconscious because he'd had kidney failure or something. He was like, you can't read the Word when you're unconscious in hospital. Every other day he's been in the Word of God since he was 17 years old. Maybe there's something to this. Just throwing the question out there. Okay, so I just want to talk through 4 points of how we use this thing. How do we cut the devil's head off? Right? It says the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Okay, the God of peace, God does the crushing, but it's under our feet. We wield the sword. It's his sword, it's his power, but we wield it. Number one, victory comes when we use our sword enthusiastically. What do I mean by that?
Oh, I guess I better read the Bible. Andrew said to read the Bible, better read the Bible.
It's not enthusiasm, friends, just if you're wondering. James 1:25 in the Contemporary English Version says, truly happy people, not those who fake it. Truly, deeply happy people are those who carefully study the God's perfect law that makes people free. And they continue to study it. Happy are those who carefully study. In other words, zealously search for its message. Zealous means to be enthusiastic. So you ever read the Bible and got nothing out of it? Yeah? So we keep reading. It used to bother me when people say, oh, I read the Bible, got nothing out of it. You know what? Your job's not to get stuff out of it. Your job's to read it. It's the Holy Spirit's job to give you something out of it. So we keep reading until the Holy Spirit gives us something. You know how many people stop reading the Bible because they're not getting anything out of it? Well, just don't stop. We've got to enthusiastically read it and study it, meditate upon it. This one always freaks me out when Jesus, you know, the devil knows the Bible. If we look at Luke chapter 4, it's not on the screen, 1 to 13, you've got the temptation of Jesus. And the devil comes to Jesus in the desert, and he uses the Bible to try to trick Jesus into sinning against the Father. Wow. Okay, so I couldn't care less whether you quote scriptures or not. Do you know what they mean and how to apply them? Because the devil knows the Bible too, and he will twist it, and he has over the centuries, to send the church in the wrong direction. Why do you think Christians killed Jews back in the Crusades? That's not biblical. That's not biblical. Here's people professing to be Christians killing Jews. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Don't tell me they understood the Bible. Of course they didn't understand the Bible. It's not enough to read it. We have to study it. We have to let the Holy Spirit give us understanding to it. Otherwise, we're going to do some dumb things, and sometimes we'll do dumb things in the name of Jesus, and we'll make him look bad. We don't want to make Jesus look bad. We want to make Jesus look like Jesus. He's good. And you know what? We've got no excuse today as far as tools. Who's got apps on their phone? You know what? You can get a Bible app for everything today. You know, I got all the translations just on my phone. I've got Greek and Hebrew dictionaries on my phone. So wherever I am, I can check up a word and check the meaning of a word. I can do Bible study on the train, on the bus, on the airplane, in my hand. Yeah, we have resources that we've never had. Yeah, some places in the world still don't have enough Bibles for everybody. And we've got a resource in our hand. And the Word of God, we've got the sword in our hand wherever we go if we want to have it. Hey? We've got no excuse. We're without excuse, really. So get some of those tools. If you want to know about some of them, let me know. There's other people in the church who use the similar things. Number two, victory comes when we use our sword with commitment. Ezra changed the nation. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. Because of Ezra's commitment to the word of God, he was able to... We read that he was devoted to the study and observance of God's word, not just the study, but also the observance. Being committed to God's word not only means to seek to understand it, but to put it into practice, put into practice what we learn. The most important question to ask is, how does this apply to me? You ever read the Bible and thought, oh, you know, if Melissa just did that more, you know? I'm not meant to apply it to other people. The two best questions is, what is the Bible saying to me? And what am I going to do about it? You know, you can say, I read the Bible today. Well, that's great. An anorexic person might say, I put food on my plate today. So what? That's not going to save their life. They've got to do something with the food. They got to put it in their mouth and start eating it. So it's not enough to look at the word. We've got to put it into action. We've got to act on it. You know, if the Bible says forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive, it's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. And if we don't do that, then we're going to reap the consequences of bitterness, anger, resentment. The Bible's not full of suggestions. They're full of powerful weapons where we get the victory. And so if we don't apply what the Bible says, then we can't expect to get the victory in our relationships. We can't expect, you know, if we don't apply the principles of the Bible in our finances, we can't expect to get the victory in our finances. If we don't apply the principles of the Bible in our, you know, whatever it is, in our looking for jobs. If we get the victory without applying the principles, it's probably just God's grace. But I tell you what, if we apply the principles, we're guaranteed of victory. Number three, victory comes when we use our sword humbly. Humbly. Psalm 25:9 says, He guides the humble. in what is right and teaches them his way. Actually, I want to say this about commitment too. If you're not getting anything out, if sometimes we're not getting anything out of the Bible, it's because God's too gracious to show us anything when he knows we're not going to obey it anyway. So we kind of got to come with a decision to obey before we even read it. Does that make sense? I know that's hard because you think, well, what am I going to read? I'm going to have to do it. But unless we come say, God, whatever you tell me, whatever you show me, I'm going to do it, then I believe he'll reveal things. Because sometimes if he knows we're not going to do it anyway, he's protecting us from judgment, really. And the same here, if we come with arrogance, like you already know everything, then we're not going to find anything new. Because we've got to come saying, God, I don't know anything. I don't know anywhere near what I need to know. I come humbly. James 1:21 in the Amplified says, in a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word. Receive and welcome the word, which implanted and rooted in your hearts contains the power to save your souls. So we receive the word of God humbly. The word humble, gentle, modest speaks of an attitude of submission and being teachable. I've always really valued teachability. Actually, one of my greatest offenses in training college with the Salvation Army was on one of my reports, they said I was unteachable. So offended. So I said, what is that about? I asked them. I said, what is that? Because I want to understand. If I'm unteachable, I want to do something about that because I don't want to be unteachable. And I found out that it wasn't about unteachable. It was about punctuality. I always showed up late to class. Interesting, isn't it? But I said, well, punctuality is already on your report, so take unteachable off because I'm not unteachable. I've just got issues with punctuality. But I've always held that high. You ever come across unteachable people? I had a foreman when I was an electrician who was unteachable. Actually, praise God, I was mostly an apprentice under his leadership, so the tradesman had to put up with him. And I was on a job once with a tradesman, and this foreman, you know, he used to do welding and stuff as well. We're trying to get these cables down the pole and out again. And so the foreman came and said, oh, you just need to do this, this, and this. And when the foreman left, the tradesman goes, oh, so they got into an argument, you know, and this foreman used to always say, I've had 40 years of experience. You know, they used to stand on that when you get an argument with a tradesman. And when he left, the tradesman said to me, he hasn't had 40 years experience. He's had 4 years experience 10 times. You know the difference? As soon as he became a tradesman, he stopped being teachable. He didn't really have 40 years of experience. He only had 4 years of experience. Friends, it's never okay to stop learning. It's never okay to stop learning. I don't want 4 years experience or 2 years experience 10 times. I want to learn something fresh today. I learned something fresh the other week. Smashed me right between my eyes. I'm just sitting there with my coffee doing my devotions innocently. Innocently? Maybe not even enthusiastically enough. I'm just sitting there. And suddenly there's this verse, right? Let me wreck your day with it. As it wrecked mine. God doesn't respond to need, he responds to faith. I'm still trying to digest that. I'm still trying to digest that. That Jesus responds to faith, not need. And I've wrestled with it for 2 or 3 weeks. I'm going, can that be true? That messes with my theology. What do you mean God doesn't respond to need? Of course he does. Well, actually, I look at Jesus' life and he walked past need to respond to faith. You know, sometimes we just need to be okay with being wrong. How do you feel about being wrong? It's uncomfortable, isn't it? Wrong again. Hey, that's humility, isn't it? Oh, I'm wrong again. You know what? When I know I'm a child of the King and I'm secure in who I am, I'm okay to be wrong. I don't have to be right all the time. You know, actually, that is so freeing. To not have to be right all the time. You know what? I can still feel loved by God. I can still love and value myself and be wrong. Man, a bit more of that could change our world. bit more of that could change our world. We've got to come to the word humbly. You know what, God, I don't know everything. God's gone. What does Gibbs say all the time? You think? You think? It's not a surprise to God that we don't know everything. Sometimes it's a surprise to us. Oh, I didn't know that. Really? Of course you didn't know it. How are we supposed? We can't know everything. So we have to come humbly. Swallow your pride. It won't give you indigestion. 4, victory comes when we use our sword with the Holy Spirit. You know what? If you try to use the word without the Holy Spirit, you're going to end up in all kinds of dumb places. And it's going to be like trying to eat a dry biscuit with no water. It's just, that's going to give you indigestion. 1 John 4:1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Say after me, do not believe every spirit. Please don't believe every spirit. Yeah. What Sarah said. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This was in Jesus' day, let alone our day. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. This is not rocket science, right? It's right here, black and white, really easy. We can all understand this one. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now you might think, well, who wouldn't acknowledge that Jesus is not in the flesh? I have sat in a minister's fraternal meeting, and one of the ministers around the table said, well, what if Jesus was just, what if Jesus was not historical? Said it right there and then. Man, I wish I knew this verse that day. I could have started a riot. How can you be a minister of religion and not believe that Jesus came in the flesh? Well, if you've got the wrong spirit. Friends, I believe never have we been in such a day as today that we need the gift of discernment or just to grind discernment that what's truth and what's lies. You know, don't even just believe someone because they say they're a Christian. Say what? You know, Joyce Meyer says you can call yourself sitting in a garage doesn't mean you're a car. Sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian. It's the same principle. I don't care what you call yourself. I want to see fruit. You know, if my pawpaw tree's not growing pawpaws, I want to cut it down. Actually, the Bible says something like that. Dear friend, can I say this about prophecy too? Too often today I see prophecy used and not tested. And they won't question the prophet. Mate, you question the prophet. If a prophet thinks they're beyond questioning, they shouldn't be operating as a prophet. Okay? We test the spirits. Have to. It's what the Bible tells us to do. I remember following the word of a prophet 20 years ago. You know, he's going to telling me that I was going to marry someone outside the Salvation Army. Well, that didn't happen. He told me that he told my friend he was going to go to England. Well, he didn't go to England, he died. You know how you tell what a prophet? Is what they say actually happens. And I look back and I never tested what that guy said. And if I looked at the fruit of his life, there was not love there. We have to look at fruit. We have to test the spirits. The Bible teaches us that there are different spirits in the world, the Holy Spirit, who is God, and then the spirits that come from the enemy, the devil. In this passage, we are given a way to discern which is which. We are told that every spirit that acknowledges Jesus came in the flesh is of God. It's a great, safe, easy test. There are people today who claim to be Christian and do not believe in a historical Jesus. According to this verse, they're not Christian at all. They can call themselves a minister of Christianity and run a church, but God says they're not a Christian. It's that simple. It's not enough to study the Bible. We must do it in submission to God so that he can lead us by the right spirit, the Holy Spirit. And this verse that you may be more familiar with, John 16:13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you, the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. One of the Holy Spirit's jobs is to lead Jesus' followers into full comprehension of all Jesus wants us to know. And we are told he will speak not on his own, so the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Bible, but give us deeper understanding of it. If we study the Bible without submission to the Holy Spirit, then we will only acquire knowledge, not understanding. Does that make sense? You can actually study the Bible and acquire knowledge, and it will not change your life. What we want is understanding. What we want is revelation. And that can only come by the Holy Spirit. You know, when you read the Bible and you go, oh, wow, look at that. You know, you think, has my brain just turned on today? Has the coffee just kicked in? No, the Holy Spirit's shown up and given you understanding to what you've just read. It's not the coffee. But the Holy Spirit will further reveal Jesus through the Word of God, and the natural outworking of that is that we'll become more like Jesus. That's why in Ephesians, it's not the sword of any spirit, it's the sword of the Holy Spirit. I want to finish with this. In 1875, at the age of 70, so remember George Mueller was 54, and he'd done all this amazing stuff with orphanages, right? But years later, at the age of 70, after the death of his first wife, he began a 17-year period of missionary travel. At the age of 70. You ever thought you're too old? You know what I like about Gary? He's never found the word retirement in the Bible, have you, Gary? Yeah, that's right. Refire, not retire. Hey, how good's that? So Gary's applying the word of God to his life. There's retirement's not in the Bible, friends. Hallelujah. That's a worldly thing. It's a worldly thing. How often do we make decisions according to the world instead of according to the word? Okay, George Mueller set out on a speaking around the world at the age of 70. And he did it for 17 years. Hey, that's not a bad effort. He preached in the United States, India, Australia, Japan, China, and nearly 40 other countries. He traveled a total of over 200,000 miles, an incredible achievement for pre-aviation times. They didn't even have planes back in those days. His language abilities allowed him to preach in English, French, German, and his sermons were translated into over a dozen other languages. In 1892, he returned to England, where he died in 1898. I know, I think I just want to say, what could God do with my life or your life if we get this in the right place? What could happen? What could God do if this just got the rightful place in our life? You know, I only touched on four of the things of how we apply this, but what could happen? We have the power of God at our fingertips, and sometimes we struggle and try to work out things ourselves. What I want to do, I invite the band to come up. And all I want to do is for you to, you know, if you want to come and pray at the front, that's fine today. What I want you to do is make a gutsy decision. And probably just ask God, okay, God, I don't want to get under condemnation. You know, condemnation says you don't read the Bible enough. Well, I say to the devil when he tells me that, what's enough? Right, there's never enough. That's right. So what we want to do is say, God, what's my next step with your word? What do I need to do? Is there something I need to apply? Do I need to get a new app on my phone? Do I need to join a Bible study group? What do I need to do? What's my next step to help put the word of God? How can I wield my sword better so that I win the victory? What do I need to do? I don't know, maybe on your, don't have to put it on your care cards. If you want, you can let us know. We'll keep you accountable if you want that to happen. Actually, I love keeping people accountable. So you can put it on here if you like, and we'll give you a ring through on Friday and see how you're going with that. That's scary, eh? We could do that. Write down your commitment on your care card, stick it in the bucket, and I'll give you a call on Friday and see how you're going with it. You don't have to do that. What I'm saying is, though, right, make some note for yourself what you are going to do. So, you know, if you're not having a regular quiet time, maybe I'm going to find a place to have a quiet time every day where I can pray and read the Word. I'm going to find some extended time in my week to study the Word. I'm going to watch some extra podcasts of preaching. I'm going to search for a Bible study group till I find one. You know, I'm not going to quit just because the first one didn't work out. Whatever you need to do to take the Word the next level in your life, let's make a real gutsy, decision we can put into practice this week to take next level. I was going to leave it with these guys.
You have my attention.